Welcome back. Moolala Money Made Simple is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit. As I said, the counseling is free and judgment free. There is a feeling, at least among those who don't have their financial house completely in order, that they are the only ones. This is something I run into all the time. People be like, I'm the only one. Everybody else pays their credit card on time and everybody else has pre-authorized RRSP contributions set up. I'm the only one. But of course, that is not the case. And whether you are currently struggling with money or you have in the past, it is really helpful to know that you are not alone. And that is one of the goals of Monica Parker's latest book. It is called Oops, I Forgot to Save Money. And it turns out I'm not alone. Of course, she's not alone. Monica is an author, actor, screenwriter, speaker. She joins us now to talk about the book and the lessons she has learned along the way. Hello there.
Hi there. With all those titles, wouldn't you think I'd be loaded?
I know, totally. You should be loaded. And in fact, there's so many Beverly Hills references in your book. I think you're really just making this as a fabricated story, because really you've got a room at the, what is it? The Chateau Marmont. Is that what it is? Is that what it's called? Yeah.
But I don't.
You do not. Your bio reads like a movie plot summary in and of itself. You worked with all sorts of boldface names. You started in Glasgow. You've lived in Toronto. You lived in LA. First of all, and most importantly, who would play you in the movie of your life?
Whoa.
I know. It's the most important question. I can't even believe I didn't think of this before. It just came to me right now.
Well, I'm going with Adele because she's lost so much weight.
Oh my God, she's gorgeous. Then it would be a musical because she'd have to sing.
Well, okay, we could do that. I have.
When I grew up in Glasgow, it was the first time I went to LA. Okay, Adele, love it. Okay. What would you say imprinted on you about that? I don't know if you would call it chaotic. It reads as chaotic. What imprinted on you about managing money, given the childhood that you had?
Well, I think creative people in general, the pull to do what we love is so much stronger than the pull to do what we should. Mm. And, you know, that applies to lots of people, but it certainly applies to people who are artists. And so I think that that's a really big one. I think another one that's really huge for me is I learned nothing at the dinner table about money. It was a non-subject. And I know that that's a huge failing, because in all this research that I've done, the people who had money discussions at home with their family and where it was an unthreatening conversation have a much better sense of value about the meaning of money. Money isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing, because we need it all the time.
You were born in Scotland. You moved to Toronto. There's all sorts of, you know, stories about your mom and your dad and those relationships. And then here you are in LA. What was the money context in LA in those times? I mean, it sounds very much like feast or famine and, you know, projects come, projects go.
Well, as I said in the book, I've made a lot of money at different times in my life because I've worked a lot. It's not about, and then of course I've made a lot of money. And then there are all those times when I haven't worked, just because that's the nature of what I do, a freelancer. And that includes every freelancer in any profession. It has a feast and famine life. And it's a life that I would not trade for anything, because I am driven I love to do many things. And a very brief story. This will shed a little light on me. I was brought into a huge manager's office when I first got to LA. And he said, "Well, I've seen your videos. I've seen your resume. Tell me what it is you want." And I said, "Well, you know those actors who work all the time, but you don't know their name?" And he put his hand up. He said, "Excuse me? I said, yeah, like fame isn't on my radar. I like to work and I don't just want to act. I want to do this and I want to be a writer and I want to be a producer and I want to create things. Before I knew it, his hand was on my back and I was on the other side of the door. He could not equate that someone didn't want massive fame. I don't care about fame.
Right. You wanted to be more of like a Stanley Tucci who's known, always there, but not Robert Redford.
That's right. I didn't want the pressure. I can't imagine wanting fame in your life. It sounds incredibly intrusive to me. And I've had my share of famous moments where you get stopped in the grocery store. Sure. And that's nice. I just wouldn't want that burden. And I say that thinking, gee, if I had wanted it and I was there, maybe I would have had a gazillion dollars. Mm. But I'd have spent it. I'd have traveled. I'd have done things with it.
And you are quite open about some mistakes that you made. So in addition to the challenge of feast and famine and freelance life, you invested in a gold mine in northern Quebec. You bought a timeshare. What do you think made you susceptible to these ideas that a different temperament might have said, hold on, stop everything, don't do that?
Well, I'm not conservative by nature. I think, that's a good question because I wonder about this. I think there's a bit of risk taking in me. You couldn't live the life I lead if there wasn't risk taking in me.
Of course.
So, I you know what? First of all, the biggest mistake, the gold thing that came through an ex-brother-in-law. Don't ever listen to your family. Yeah. They're the best salespeople in the world and they induct their family first. So that was really a bad mistake because it was stupid. Other things that I've thought were a good idea and may have been a good idea, but maybe their timing was off or buying a timeshare was just a complete idiotic New Year's hangover moment. That was just bad. I was pressured and I was beaten up by a salesperson.
You write about being in the office of a bankruptcy trustee. What sticks with you most vividly about that meeting? The shame.
The shame. Yeah. Absolute. Desperately terrible shame. And yet it was the gift that straightened me out.
Why?
I mean, I owe nobody anything. I have money in the bank. I straighten my life out. I learned actually about impulse spending. You know, spending is often the same thing as eating. I mean, too much food, binging. They're very similar. And I've been involved with both.
Mm. Sure.
The quick fix sounds like a good idea. The thing that makes you feel good for 10 minutes makes you feel like a good idea, but the hangover ain't worth it.
In this movie starring Adele, there will be a moment and it will be a turning point moment. And screenwriter Monica would craft this moment beautifully. As you look at the facts of your life, what would that moment be? What's that turning point?
Well, definitely the bankruptcy was the horror and facing the truth. And then there comes those slow steps. Well, you know, a big turning point was just before the bankruptcy when I sat in a little tiny church. I'm not religious, but I went into this little tiny church and I needed to sit still and have a chat with myself. And there was a chipped Jesus and I had a chat with him and he didn't answer to me, but just the fact that I was putting it all out there alone in this tiny little church in Los Angeles, where you wouldn't imagine there'd be a little brown wooden church, but there was. And I think it sort of was a great moment, a confession for myself. And once it was out of my body, I could look at it. And then I went, no, I don't want to be that person. I'm better than that.
Yeah.
I'm smarter than that.
Yeah.
And that's what changed. So that's the moment.
And there was still work to do. You have a phrase in the book that is simple and true, quote, managing money was harder than I thought it would be. So you had this moment and then you had to like buckle down and do all the work. What was the hardest part in the land of doing? So you had the insight, which altered, it sounds like it just altered your paradigm and your outlook. And then you had to do stuff.
I had to take stock of what I had spent money on. And I make a list in the book of the things that, you know, again, in the same way that chocolate satisfies for a short moment, so did a lipstick. It wasn't a lot of money, but did I need 56 lipsticks? Probably not. Did I need all those shoes? No. So I started to look at that kind of excess and I went, this is just Band-Aids. I don't need Band-Aids. I'm strong. I can push through this. I actually just need what I need. And, you know, I am not a person who doesn't have pretty things around me because that's part of living a lovely life. So I do. I indulge a bit in art, but it's not massively expensive. It's things that please me. Mm. I think pretty surroundings are very nice. But what I've also learned is I don't need everything. That's a shocking thing to have thought you once did.
I wish we had more time, Monica, but thank you for joining us to talk about your book and your story. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bruce. I think you're amazing. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. Monica Parker, her list of skills and experience is very, very long, but the number one thing you need to take away is the title of her book. It is Oops, I Forgot to Save Money. And it turns out I'm not alone. If you're looking for an entertaining and engaging and empathetic read, you should pick up that book.
Hi, it's me, your dad. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.